Can I have your question, please?
Yeah, my name is... I'll try and stand up. My name is Matt Wheatley, and I'm here from the Greater Leith campaign against the cuts. And if I can just say before I start, I'm a wee bit hard of hearing, so if I can remind you to keep your volume up. Rob, you're a bit quiet, so can we concentrate? The question that I have is, essentially, given the current administration's acceptance of cuts to budgets, both from central government and the Scottish government, and the effect that that's having on the services, say, Edinburgh Council, and that allied with the desire of the administration to go down the road of privatisation, can I ask people what their view is in relation to what they can do to act against the cuts, what they can do in order to ensure that privatisation is taken out of the equation?
Okay. Start with you, Marjorie.
Thank you. Well, first of all, as you know, you don't need me to tell you that the country's been going through an economic crisis like the rest of the world, and that there's no option, as far as I'm aware, there's no option but to take this on board and to try and make the very best job that we can do with the money that we've got. And that has inevitably meant making some, I would not use the word changes in the way work is done. I would like to think that the present administration has done a very good job of doing that because, for instance, in education, the way that they have tackled education, I hate making statements, but I'm not 100% certain, but I'm fairly certain that there have been no redundancies in education. They've had to look at clever ways of making, you know, a reduced amount of money work, and they've done that by making faculties instead of having principal teachers. It's not gone down hugely well, but at least people have still kept their job, they've kept their salaries. That's one example. So we've tried to be very clever. We've employed some very good new people through in new directors and new departments who have come in with some very, very bright ideas, and with good management, I think we've actually done pretty well. As far as privatisation, as you call it, Matt, I think we'll have to agree to differ on that one. There already are departments within the council that are run by outside bodies. For instance, in refuse itself, the red bins and the blue bins are picked up by a private company, as it is. They're not done by the normal bin men. So I really don't accept that argument. I think I don't want to be paying people off anything like that at all. Any decisions that we would have made, staff would have been, as they call, toopied over to work for the new company with the same rules and the same pension rights, etc. We've got to be smarter at giving a better value to the people who pay council tax. At the same time, maintain the best service we can. It's a difficult task. It's not easy. We seem to have got all the difficulties, but that's just the way it is. However, I think we've tackled it head on, and I think we've come up with some good solutions.
Thank you. Rob.
Right, I'll try and speak loudly and clearly, Matt. The gist of your question really is about the ABM programme. I'll deal with ABM first and then maybe say some more about the general kind of cuts climate or culture. The ABM programme, this administration looked at that as an option because of the cuts that we were facing, that this could have provided the way forward for the council, and there were three areas of the council that were looked at in that programme. I personally spent a lot of time on that that issue, and my role at that time as part of the budget review group of the administration. I'd have to say that I've always believed that where possible we should provide the services through the public sector. So that's the position I started from, because what was going alongside the ABM programme, which was seeking, if you like, partners from the private sector, was an internal improvement scheme called the Public Sector Comparator. And I was interested in what the whole ABM programme could drive through Public Sector Comparator, which could also make savings and deal with the issue where we, as a council, were getting less money or getting standstill grants that, you know, with inflation, we'd have to make cuts, we'd have to reorganise. So that led us to the position where the SNP parted company with our administration colleagues, the Liberal Democrats, and voted along with Labour and the Greens to accept the public sector comparator at the end of that programme, because we felt that the what was offered by the private companies, while on the face of it looked fantastic, it was actually maybe too good to be true, and some of the savings that they were putting forward, frankly, that's my view and my group's view, didn't really stand up to full scrutiny. There was some speculative stuff there. So that kept jobs like refuse in-house, but the acceptance there is that the working practices have to change and the service has to change to keep those jobs in the public sector. And that's what I would want if I'm part of administration for May the 3rd. On your broader thing about the point about the cuts, local government, if you like, is in this kind of position where we only raise a small part of our expenditure through the council tax, regardless of whether you've got a freeze or not. It's never going to be much more than maybe 20% of your revenue. So we're always reliant on what we get from central government. If that becomes less, then you have to start trimming your services back, or trimming the way you organise. And what we've been trying to do is make sure, where we can, that front line, you know, what you as a member of the public see is as little affected as possible. And that's why there's been a lot of sort of management delayering throughout the council, where with various tiers of management in the council that were perhaps not productive and not providing that frontline service. And that's what's been happening across the council to try and make some of the savings.
Thanks, Rob. Nicola.
Obviously, working in the council for the past 6 years, I've seen reorganisations, redesigns, voluntary redundancies from public. And this has had an impact on services. The Conservatives would like to see greater cooperation between the councils, third, and the voting sector. And one of the friends we've spoken from my experience, it would be great for the voting sector as a 3-year funding agreement. So it would run for, it would have an agreement for 3 years and you know how much money they would have. I think, you know, cuts are inevitable, but, you know, this, it can be managed, by integrating the water sector, council, private sector, which would limit the impact of the cuts that will have to be made in the next few years.
Okay, thank you. Chaz.
Thanks, and thanks for the question, Matt. Let me start off by telling you the principle that Greens approach this from, and that is one of social justice. We want to see social, economic, and environmental justice, all three. It's the sort of triple bottom line. And treating those who are the poorest in our society with dignity and with respect and giving them the support that they need is absolutely essential. So I suppose you could paraphrase it as to each according to their need, from each according to their ability to pay, to use a line that Gordon might well use later on. So that's the principle. In detail, we have our councillors have voted against privatisation at the council. Our councillors have voted against the cuts. Our MSPs at Holyrood put forward amendments to the SNP budget, which didn't pass on the Lib Dem Tory cuts. Those amendments were rejected. And at the council, our councillors have tried to find ways of raising revenue in a way that ensures that it's those with the broadest shoulders that contribute more. So, for example, we propose the bed tax, and our approach economically, the bed tax, for those that you don't know, is also known as the transient visitor levy, which is a small levy of, say, £1 or £2 on each overnight stay in Edinburgh, which would then be invested into council funds. So it's a way of ensuring that we don't pass on some of the cuts. And our approach to the budget is one about preventative spend. If we can invest in those council services which will deliver a saving down the line. So, for example, we invest in youth services to ensure that we have less problems with antisocial behaviour. It's a fundamental principle, and that's one that we've tried to inject into the council budgets as well. That's 2 minutes, so I'll stop.
Thank you. Adam?
I agree with most of what Chaz has said. The SNP advocated the bed tax as well until it was found to be illegal, which was a pretty good indicator that we should drop it. However, in the manifesto, I think we're going with something which is legal for a start, which is a benefit, and hoping to raise revenue for specific things to boost tourism and all that sort of thing as more a sort of... what's the word I'm looking for? Non-mandatory tax. So it wouldn't be a tax, it would be a voluntary levy. I should say to Matt, I'm a pretty lefty guy. I'm probably not far, maybe not as lefty as some in the room, but I'm pretty there. I spent 4 years writing economics essays against privatisation. But recently, when I worked for Amnesty International, I wrote 2 reports. One focused on council service provision in terms of Scottish Gypsy Travellers. And one of the recommendations I put in the report, and the report is launching on Monday, so you can go on Amnesty's website and download my handiwork from Monday. One of the report recommendations that I made in that report, and Amnesty's advocating, is effective outsourcing. And it's not outsourcing to save money, it's outsourcing because that's the best place to provide that service. What sometimes will happen is there's a third sector organisation, a social enterprise, which can do a job better, cheaper, more efficiently, more effectively, and get a greater outcome for less money effectively. And so things like that I think should be encouraged. We shouldn't shy away from looking at those alternatives. I don't think we should have a narrow mindset and say everything has to be run by the council, nor do I think that we can have the approach of, well, we're just going to go against cuts and allow the city finances to get in a mess. I think we have to be more prudent and more solvent than that. But there are some third sector organisations that will do a better job for less money. So it's not always a case of privatising out to a company that will make profit. It's a case of, I think, finding the best delivery of a service for the cheapest possible price.
Thank you. Finally, Gordon.
Thank you, Matt. You and I have corresponded on this issue many times, so you're aware of my position on this, and I've opposed the privatisation process throughout it, a process that's actually cost all of us £4.2 million to date. the bin dispute that went on in our council where private contractors were bought in cost £5.3 million without actually any sort of form or any attempt to resolve that particular dispute. There was just an unwillingness there, despite repeated questioning from opposition councillors with regards to the dispute, and that ranged from Conservative councillors who did want to privatise it through to Labour and Green councillors who actually queried how much is this costing, because that was on top of the cost of the service in the first place. But what was most symbolic for me in this current administration was when they actually went to privatise the care and support tender for 800 of the most vulnerable citizens in this city. And it was only lost at the last minute through a vote where one of the Lib Dem councillors had to step down because of a pecuniary interest, because he was working for one of the bidders. And that tells you where the current administration were pushing. They were pushing on different fronts with regards to privatisation. And we've got to keep ourselves alert to that happening again within this council. So what do we do? I actually agree with Rob here. Is that we've actually got to have an honest dialogue about this. Council tax freeze equals cuts. You know, Rob said that we're going to have to trim, if the council tax freeze continues.
I never said that.
Well, that was the note I made there, so...
Yeah, well, don't put words in my mouth, Gordon.
Right. Well, the council tax freeze continues, we will have to trim or cut, right? And we've got to think about that. So we've got to look at how we do something about that. One of the first things that struck me when I first got elected for the Harbour Ward in 2003 was that there was a... classroom assistant with Bonington Primary School, which was then open, got one of the first affordable flats in King Street, just off Great Junction Street there. Now, she found out that she couldn't afford to stay on in that flat because the rateable value of it was actually more than a woman who she worked beside who had a four-bedroomed house in Trinity. That's because there's been no property revaluation, and all parties are culpable on this matter, in my view. All parties are culpable on this, and we've got to look at that again. Because again, I agree with Chaz, is that we've got to actually look at a more socially equitable form of redistribution of tax wealth in this city and in this country, especially this city with the money that's made there. And one of the ways that we can do that is that one of the ideas that we're trailing in our manifesto is a cooperative council, and we're looking at ways that we can actually deliver services in concert with groups and in concert with local citizens to actually make sure that some of the storm that is coming through either stuff that's coming from the UK government or the council tax fees imposed on councils, we can cope with.
Thank you. Matt?
Well, I'll not stand up this time. very interesting. From the point of view that the cuts are inevitable, and everybody seemed to take that up, I don't believe that the cuts are inevitable. I believe that the cuts are politically inspired. I believe that there's other ways of managing the financial crisis that you spoke about, Marjorie. It's a political decision to place the burden of that final financial crisis, on the poor, basically.
Okay, thank you,
Matt. So I don't think it's inevitable. What I would like to see, and I think the privatisation thing is an attempt to try and disguise that and get rid of the responsibility and all that sort of stuff. The alternative to the cuts is what I would like to see City Edinburgh Council doing, is turning round to Scottish Government and Central Government and saying, look, we're not going to play your game. If you want to cut, you come in and you do the cuts. We're going to set a needs budget for our city. This is what our city needs. If you want to cut things, you come in and cut them. And as well as doing that, what I'd like to see is Edinburgh Council saying to other councils across the country, let's join together and sing from the same songboard when we're talking to central government, the Scottish Government.
George. Quickly.
Just a reflection how not one of the candidates mentioned what the public want and what the public were never asked about, which was who they want to supply the services, or indeed they never actually mentioned best practice, probably because best practice costs no money.
Thank you.